Greetings to you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he who is the Alpha and Omega, as we just read, the first and the last. I'm grateful and glad you're all here, brothers and sisters, as we once again have the privilege of hearing the Word of God publicly preached unto us. We're only allotted a certain and fixed amount of sermons in our short lifetime, and so let us hear each one, friends, with ready ears, attentive hearts, that Jesus Christ might dwell more in your hearts and in my heart by faith. Preaching, as you know, is the primary means that by which the Spirit uses to grow us in grace. So may we gladly submit ourselves to hearing His voice and the preached word to the end that we might be sanctified more than we are right now. The Puritan William Gurnall said it best, the Christian life should put his minister's sermon in print, which is just another way of saying, friends, let us not be merely hearers of the word, but doers of it, James 1, 22 through 25. And that is my desire for you and for myself tonight as we come now to the reading and public proclamation of God's holy word, that we all would be diligent hearers, diligent doers of the instruction that we shall receive by the word and by the Holy Spirit. So being reminded of this, our great responsibility in attending to the hearing and application of God's word, let us ask the Lord for supernatural grace to receive His word and to store it deep within our hearts, that we might not be forgetful hearers, and that we would be doers. For it is that man who shall be blessed in his deeds, says the Spirit. So let's call upon our God and Heavenly Father together, that He would open His word unto us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, our souls cleave unto the dust. O Lord, revive us according to your word. Sanctify us in your truth. Thy word is truth. Give us understanding. Grant us insight into the precious truths of your word. Make it effectual, powerful to our hearts by the breath and moving of your Holy Spirit amongst us. Sanctify us wholly, in body, soul, and spirit. Make it land onto soft ground and fertilize the seed of your word. Make it sprout with the fruits of righteousness, which are pleasing in your sight, O Holy Father. And so, Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O God, my rock and my redeemer. We pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Well, friends, at this time, I'd invite you to take up your copy of God's Word and turn with me in them, if you would, to the post-exilic book of Nehemiah, the book of Nehemiah, chapter 13. And if you're using the Pew Bibles provided for you, you can find that chapter on page 441, page 441. Tonight, we're going to pick right up where we left off two Sabbath evenings ago, and so this is going to be part five of how to keep holy the Sabbath day. And since I already provided for you last time, if you can remember, a rather lengthy summary of all the things that we have explored so far in the fourth commandment, I'm just going to take the liberty and jump right back in, as there is plenty more to talk about under the first of the three headings I gave to you at the end of my last sermon that I preached to you in the evening. If you want to review, you're more than welcome to go back and to listen to previous sermons. All of that is available to you on sermon audio. It's one of the perks of living in the 21st century that our forefathers didn't have before us. We can go back and listen and be edified by recorded sermons. Anyway, I digress, so let's now get and look into the subject at hand tonight in relation to the Sabbath day, the pre-Sabbath preparations that will aid us tremendously in our striving by faith to keep holy the Sabbath day. And so my text for tonight's sermon, where we see clearly this call to be prepared pre-Sabbath, our need to be ready for the Sabbath day as we see it drawing nearer and nearer, is Nehemiah chapter 13, particularly chapter 13, verse 19. Here we have Nehemiah, who was a governor of the people of Judah, people of Israel, those who came back out of the exile and settled back in the promised land. And we see that Nehemiah was very zealous for upholding God's law in the life of the people. We could call him a reformer of his day, as he was intent on getting the people to reform their lives in accordance with the scriptures as it had been given unto them. And one of those areas of reform he was seeking to carry out was in the keeping of the Lord's Sabbath day. And when he found that some of the nobles of Judah were profaning the Lord's day, he rebuked them and contended with them earnestly, tried to seek to stop them immediately from profaning and polluting the Sabbath day. And he takes the initiative and institutes reform that God's day within the gates of Jerusalem would no longer be desecrated, that all of Judah would not be chastened by the wrath of God for breaking covenant with him in this respect. And so in order to keep the day from being polluted, to ensure that it is sanctified and hallowed as God intends it to be, friends, Nehemiah, in the 19th verse, instituted some pre-Sabbath preparations so that burdens would not be brought into the gates of Jerusalem. So before we get back into the practical preparations that you and I should and ought to make so that we ourselves do not bring heavy, unwelcomed, and unacceptable burdens into the Christian Sabbath that are greatly displeasing unto the Lord, let's read this historical account from the life of Nehemiah, that we might see how good, necessary, and right it is for us to make the needed preparations for ourselves before stepping into the rest we have in God and in Christ on his holy Sabbath. But rather than just reading verse 19, let's read the entire chapter to get a full understanding of the context, to be acquainted and familiarize ourselves with the whole story, that we might be emboldened, friends, to be Nehemiahs in our day and age when it comes to upholding and being holy advocators of the Christian Sabbath in a world that despises it, misuses it, abhors it, and abuses the day to the detriment of their souls and even their lives, really. So, congregation, hear now the very words of the living God, maker of heaven and earth, beginning in verse 1, reading all the way to the end of the chapter, which is also the end of the book. Verse 1. On that day they read from the book of Moses in the hearing of the people, and in it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever come into the assembly of God, because they had not met the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So it was when they had heard the law that they separated all the mixed multitude from Israel. Now before this, Eliashib, the priest, having authority over the storerooms of the house of our God, was allied with Tobiah. And he had prepared for him a large room where previously they had stored the grain offerings, the frankincense, the articles, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil, which were commanded to be given to the Levites and singers and gatekeepers and the offerings for the priests. But during all this, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Then after certain days, I obtained leave from the king, and I came to Jerusalem and discovered the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah in preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. And it grieved me bitterly. Therefore, I threw all the household goods of Tobiah out of the room. Then I commanded them to cleanse the rooms, and I brought back into them the articles of the house of God with the grain offering and the frankincense. I also realized that the portions for the Levites had not been given them, for each of the Levites and the singers who did the work had gone back to his field. So I contended with the rulers and said, "Why is the house of God forsaken?" And I gathered them together and set them in their place. Then all Judah brought the tithe of the grain and the new wine and the oil to the storehouse. And I appointed as treasurers over the storehouse Shelemiah the priest and Zadok the scribe, and of the Levites, Pedadiah, and next to them was Hanan, the son of Zakur, the son of Mattaniah, for they were considered faithful and their task was to distribute to their brethren. Remember me, O my God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for its services. In those days I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath, and bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine, grapes, figs, and all kinds of burdens, which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also, who brought in fish and all kinds of goods and sold them on the Sabbath to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. Then I contended with the nobles of Judah and said to them, "What evil thing is this that you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do thus, and did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath." And then our text, verse 19, "So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be open till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gate, so that no burden would be brought in on the Sabbath day. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, 'Why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you.' From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, and that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O my God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. In those days I also saw Jews who had married women of Ashdod, Ammon, and Moab, and half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod, and could not speak the language of Judah, but spoke according to the language of one or the other people. So I contended with them and cursed them, struck some of them and pulled out their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, 'You shall not give your daughters as wives to their sons, nor take their daughters for your sons or yourselves.' Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations there was no king like him who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, pagan women caused even him to sin. Should we then hear of your doing all this great evil, transgressing against our God by marrying pagan women?" And one of the sons of Joiada, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite. Therefore I drove him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and the Levites. Thus I cleansed them of everything pagan. I also assigned duties to the priests and the Levites, each to his service, and to bringing the wood offering and the first fruits at appointed times. Remember me, O my God, for good." Amen. So ends the public reading of God's holy, righteous, and perfect word. May he write these words on each of our hearts and upon our minds. Let me draw your eyes back to verse 19, which is a verse that is relevant and speaks directly to the need for making preparations ahead of time before the Sabbath comes upon us. Nehemiah, under the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote this: "So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded the gates to be shut, and charged that they must not be opened till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates, so that no burden would be brought in on the Sabbath." Beloved, here we clearly see an example of a holy man of God making the necessary preparations that would keep and guard people from making a desecration of his holy day of worship and of rest. Notice how Nehemiah states explicitly that he did this as it began to be dark before the Sabbath, meaning it was not yet the Sabbath, but it was soon approaching. There is thus, my friends, needful preparatory work to be done before the commencing of the Sabbath. If we truly desire to keep this day holy as we are commanded in His Word, as we've studied so far in this series. You may not be a magistrate governing people like Nehemiah, where he ordered his servants to shut and guard the gates as a preventative measure, that no unnecessary burdens or unlawful activities would pollute or profane the holiness of God's day. But what about the gates of your heart, which has a tendency to run wild and free on the Lord's day, does it not? Because of your indwelling sins that dwell within you, that wage war against your spirit. In fact, there's even good things that are lawful on other days that will entice us as well. Or what about your house? What preparations do we need to make in our homes prior to the dawning of the Sabbath that they might not lure your heart and affections away from engaging in the holy acts of the day, worshiping God in Christ, resting in His creative and redemptive works, and all other works of necessity and acts of mercy that are to aid your communion with Christ and His beloved and blood-bought people? You may not have charge over an entire nation like Nehemiah did, but parents, you have been given authority over your household. Fathers in this room, or soon to be fathers, or in the future to be fathers, you have been made the head of your household and to rule over it as Christ is the head and the husband of His church. Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 11. What things can you be doing to prepare all those within your gates to hallow the Sabbath day? You have not only an individual responsibility to keep it holy in your heart, to lead by example and to seek to shepherd your family, to ready them as best as you can to remember and honor the Sabbath day as well. Or what preparations need to be made for hospitality? As we've already seen in our study of the Sabbath, that it is a great day to be hospitable and charitable to the saints and even to others outside the church. What practical things can you do so that you're not scrambling on Sunday, where you are apt and ready to have your home be a place that can meet the needs of the saints, to provide a place for you and others to keep holy the Sabbath unto the glory of God? And finally, what kind of preparations can you make that you and others under your care might be prepared to hear the preached word from a gospel minister Lord's Day morning and hopefully, Lord willing, in the evening? What practical things can you do in your own heart to soften and warm your heart to take in the word of life and to delight yourself in hearing the gospel of Christ declared unto you, where your heart is inflamed, where it's rightly salted for the corporate gathering of the church of Christ, wherein your soul will dine with Christ and feast upon Him by faith and in through the gospel ordinances which draw your heart up with Him. Well, I wish to address these kinds of questions this evening as we go through the outline that I gave you last time I preached to you on the Sabbath. You'll recall that I gave you five headings that will help us see most clearly what exactly is our pre-Sabbath duties, preparatory duties. I have labeled them in this way, and I wish to go through each of them with you. The first is preparation of heart. The second, preparation of house. The third is similar, preparation of household. Fourth, we'll look at preparation for hospitality. And fifthly and lastly, we'll wrap it all up with preparation for hearing the word of God. So with that as our outline, let's see how we are to prepare for each of those things or areas, all for the purpose that we might delight ourselves in the Sabbath day and receive all that we can from it by the grace of Christ and the power of the Spirit working within us. We'll, of course, start from the top and work our way down. So let us consider first preparation of heart. Preparation of heart. As I said last time, you won't just suddenly, out of the blue, wake up with a heart that is inflamed to zealously yearn for God on his day. Before a bonfire's flames are blazing hot, it needs to first be kindled, where it will then slowly reach to a scorching hot temperature. So too with our hearts, friends. Our dull and cold hearts need to be warmed up by the fire of preparation on the night before the Sabbath, if we wish to profit spiritually from the blessings of the day. Our minds that for the most part have been busy, flooded, and consumed with the world's affairs, our minds, they need to transition, if you will, out of that earthly mentality and settle into a heavenly and spiritual state of mind, wherein we can set aside our vocational business and recreations and enter into what some have called a Sabbath frame of mind. To go from a go, go, go mentality and routine to then step into a rest, rest, rest in Christ all the day mindset is not something that you will just do naturally or just fall into. Just like an athlete on game day doesn't just roll into the game and start performing at max capacity, but instead he needs to warm up, needs to loosen up, go through his usual routine, put in his headphones, and get pumped up to go out there and make great plays. The same is true for us, if you will, spiritually, brothers and sisters. You and I, we need to get spiritually pumped up before it's showtime, Sabbath morning. Our hearts need some time to get pumped up, to fired up, excited about the incoming delights of the day, my friends. If you would fix your gaze wholly upon the Lord, give him your whole heart to serve him all day, then you must do what Samuel prescribed to Israel in 1 Samuel 7, verse 4. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord. Thomas Watson says that Sabbath sanctification consists first of this, solemn preparation for it. If a prince were to come to your house, what preparations would you make for his entertainment? You would sweep the house. You would wash the floor, adorn the room with the richest tapestry and hangings, that there might be something suitable to the estate and dignity of so great a person. On the blessed Sabbath, God intends to have sweet communion with you. He seems to say to you, as Christ said to Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Luke 19, verse 5. Now, what preparation should you make for entertaining the King of Glory? And here's his application. When Saturday approaches, sound a retreat. Call your minds off from the world and summon your thoughts together to think of the great work of the approaching day. Purge out all unclean affections which may indispose you for the work of the Sabbath. Evening preparation will be like the tuning of an instrument. It will fit the heart better for duties of the ensuing Sabbath. End quote. Do you thus see, my friend, the great need for this preparatory work? Now hear me out. I'm not saying the Sabbath starts on the eve of the Sabbath. Only that preparatory work does. To ready yourself most fully for works of piety, worship, rest, and all the necessary and merciful acts that are to attend it. And the best way to give fuel to your heart is to give yourself to prayer. Ask the Lord on Saturday evening as you begin your winding down, Lord, prepare my heart to meet with you and with your people in the corporate gathering of your church where you are present, where you have promised to reveal and make yourself known to us through the gospel ordinances. Help me, O Lord, to seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set my affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. Fix my gaze upon you in the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ, that I might wholly give myself to your works tomorrow and not to my own. Cleanse me and forgive me of all my sin. Open wide my mouth that you would abundantly fill it with the comforts of the everlasting gospel. This will be, if I can use a baseball analogy, batting practice before stepping up to the plate in the game. What hitter will not take several warm-up swings before he digs into the batter's box? Sabbath preparation is where we begin to loosen up our spiritual muscles. Our spiritual appetites need to be whetted for spiritual feasting, which the Sabbath is a day of spiritual feasting. It is a market for the soul. Dr. and Pastor Ryan McGraw, in his excellent book on the Sabbath, writes, "It is next to impossible to rush into the Lord's day and strive to orient our thoughts, words, and works exclusively to the Lord and his worship by a sudden and almost violent transition." Essentially, friends, it takes some time to shift gears as we move into the Lord's Sabbath. Don't let it sneak up on you or catch you by surprise. It comes at the same slotted time as it did last week. So this allows us to dedicate some time right before it, to enter into it with joy, to call the Sabbath a delight, Isaiah 58, to have a holy anticipation, a longing, thanksgiving, and ready heart to be touched afresh by the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Leave the world's cares behind and merrily enter into the foretaste of the heavenly world that the Sabbath preaches to your weary soul. Let us therefore labor to enter into that rest, lest any man fall into the same example of Israel, unbelief, where they failed to enter into the rest of God, prepared for them, symbolized in the promised land of Canaan, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. John Owen gives us two motivating reasons for us to make preparation in our hearts for the impending Sabbath. First, because the glory and majesty of God, with whom we are preparing to spend the day in communion with. Second, because of the overwhelming tendency for us to be distracted with the activities of the rest of the week. Therefore, preparatory work in the heart is intended to accomplish those two things, get us to a place where we are more enthralled, enamored by God, in that he promises to meet with us so specially on this day. And second, it will wean us off the world and earthly pleasures and cause us to latch onto instead the bosom of Christ Jesus and his soul-satisfying riches that he holds out to us in the covenant of grace. Skip not out then, saints, on this pre-Sabbath duty that we've called preparation of hearts. But there is more preparation that needs to be done along with preparing our hearts, friends. We need also to look into the second heading, preparation of house. Preparation of house. Are the things within your house in order that they might not be turned into a burden which will cause you to stumble into Sabbath breaking? Our hearts can very easily, beloved, be steered away from resting in the Lord by even the mundane things of this life. This is how idolatrous our hearts can be. Even good things, simple things, can draw us away from Christ. You need to be asking yourself questions like these, which is a crucial part of remembering and honoring the Sabbath day. Can I get to and from the church without needing gas or needing my car to be serviced? This doesn't take very long. Just check the fuel gauge. I'm no mechanic, but maybe it's too low and it will require you to get some gas on Saturday or get an oil change on Saturday. Do you have everything you need for the Lord's day? Women, are you going to make a dish for fellowship lunch to share with the saints? I could ask the same question to men, because men obviously cook as well as women do. Do you have all the necessary ingredients to make that dish? Not, I think so, but do I know so for certain? Or what prep work can I do now in the evening that will make cooking it in the morning easier, faster, more efficient? Many of you women very wisely have a meal plan for the week. Do you not plan for Sunday's meal? Having a plan, having everything you need, and executing it beforehand will keep the temptations down and keep you from disappointments when you're trying to make a favorite dish of yours, and guess what? You don't have any butter. It's crazy how a stick of butter can completely throw off your whole Sabbath day. Do you have small children or children in general? For those of you who do, you know that getting them ready can be quite the task in the morning. You never know what's going to go wrong. It's almost like Murphy's Law. Something is bound to go wrong. So what can you do ahead of time so that you are not frantically scrambling to get out the door when little Billy can't find one of his other shoes? Little Katie can't seem to find her Bible. Your teenage daughter doesn't know what dress to wear and is about to implode and have a breakdown. Or most likely you are about to implode because all of this chaos has ensued on Sabbath morning. How do we mitigate those potential problems? Obviously, some of these things will be out of your control, but quite simply, pick out what your children are going to wear the night before if they can't pick it out themselves. Make sure Billy can find both shoes. And all of your church stuff for adults and kids are in the church bag if you have one of those. Even adults, as crazy as this might sound, pick out and lay out your church attire. Maybe there's a new outfit you really want to wear, and guess what? You haven't washed it yet, and you're going to need to. I'm not sure if y'all are weird like me, but before a job interview, I would lay out my clothes ahead of time, the night before. So one, so that in the morning, I can be dressed appropriately for the occasion so I can get the job. And second, so I'm not running around like a chicken with my head cut off trying to get dressed in the morning. If we do this for important job interviews, and here's the point, why do we not prepare similarly to meet with the living God in his beautiful house? These little seemingly mundane things help me get zoned in and dialed in for the Sabbath day. Every Saturday, I actually lay out my suit, the whole shebang, and it makes me start getting excited to preach the word to you all. Does that make me weird? Probably. But it's part of my personal routine. It keeps me from scrambling Sabbath morning, where I can devote more time to get ready to preach, to prayer, and keeps my spirit calm and quiet. Doing little things like this, friends, go a long way. We need to ensure to the best of our abilities that our homes and the things in our homes are adequately prepared as the Sabbath draws near, that Satan will not be able to use them as a footstool to deter us from keeping the Sabbath day holy by faith, by grace. Have a mental checklist, or for some of us, have an actual list where you can make sure your house is in order. If a mountain of dishes is piled up in the sink from the week and that's going to bother you all Sabbath, then do them the night before. Know yourself, my friends. For each of us, the preparation of our house before the Sabbath is going to look a little bit different. But make sure, brothers and sisters, that you are found engaging in this work. You'll find that as you do, you will be more free to bask and to enjoy all of the joys of God's day all the more than if you just go into the Lord's day on cruise control. Having touched upon preparation of hearts and preparation of house, this brings us now to the third pre-Sabbath duty, which is vital to getting us on the right foot as you and I head into the Lord's Day each Sabbath. It's similar to the second, but it deals more with a person's dwelling inside your house rather than the stuff. Or to put it in biblical terms, it deals with the heart preparation of those dwelling within your gates. Hence, we call this third duty preparation of household. Preparation of household. Nehemiah, in our text, as a magistrate, a governor of Judah, was concerned not only for himself when it came to upholding the fourth commandment, But we see also that he was concerned about the Sabbath keeping of all under his care and governance, which is an example of all of what all magistrates ought to do. And if it is true that he was concerned about the whole household of Israel under his headship, then we can deduce by good and necessary consequence that heads of families have this responsibility as well. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater to the lesser. If the greater is true, then the lesser must be true. If heads of nations have this responsibility to make preparations for the Sabbath for the citizens under their jurisdiction, that it might be hallowed biblically in accordance to God's word, then so too heads of households. This is self-evident, actually, in the fourth commandment in Exodus 20, as it does not just deal with individuals, but it does speak directly to the individual, but also all those under that individual's immediate care, if he has any. Listen to Exodus 20, verse 9, I believe. In it, you, singular, shall do no work. That's the individual, you. Nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gate. Who is that? All that deals with those living permanently or temporarily under your roof, or those under your God-given authority. And so if all those within your household are bound to keep the Sabbath, then they need to be prepared as much as you. And this is where heads of households especially need to take charge, be proactive, as was the godly leader Nehemiah in his day. Our larger catechism actually makes this role of heads of households and families quite clear. Right after addressing what it means to keep the Sabbath day holy, the divines ask this question, question 118. Why is the charge of keeping the Sabbath more specifically directed to governors of families and other superiors? Answer, the charge of keeping the Sabbath is more specifically directed to governors of families and other superiors because they are bound not only to keep it themselves, but to see that it be observed by all those under their care, and because they are prone oftentimes to hinder them by employments of their own. There's a lot in here, but one of the applications is this: heads of households, listen. Or those who are wishing to be one day, you need to lead by example. If you want others to keep the Sabbath day holy, you need to first begin with a zeal for keeping it yourself holy. Lead by example. Your negligence doesn't just affect you negatively, but it also negatively affects all those within your family who you have been entrusted to care for by God, soul and body. You must say with Joshua and mean it. And I don't mean just having it on a picture frame. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 15. And what does part of serving Jehovah entail, as we have been studying? Faithfully keeping the Sabbath day holy, all by the grace that Christ provides for you in the gospel, which is an everlasting covenant between God and you, and also, we're Presbyterians, our household, you and your house. Thus, fathers and or mothers, you need to be mindful of this and see that your family is prepared for the Lord's Sabbath. But how do you do this, you might ask? Well, here are some practical things. First, in family worship in the evenings, if that's when you do it, are you pleading with God in prayer as the head of your house for him to prepare each member of your family for meeting with Christ in and through the assembled gathering where he's promised to dine and dwell with his people? Teach your children of their need to be prepared for meeting with God in the way that you pray. It doesn't have to be long and extravagant, but it should be heartfelt, showing how utterly dependent we are for God to prepare our hearts for us to gain any spiritual profit from the gospel ordinances, the ordinary means of grace. It's a tremendous privilege to meet with the living God, but it is also a very solemn thing, and it's never to be taken lightly or something that we should just do haphazardly, without any thought. Amos 4, 12 through 13, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that forms the mountains and creates the winds and declares unto man what is his thought, that makes the morning darkness and treads upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. That's who we're drawing near to. Convey that to your children. Say, this is a very holy and special day that God himself has called us as a family to revere and to sanctify. Your children should see by your words how you cherish, how you yearn for this day, and that you desire that they learn to as well. Second, you can look at the bulletin when your pastor actually remembers to send it the day before or a couple days before. I didn't actually do that this time. I sent it early in the morning. But normally, you can sing one of the psalms that we will be singing on the Lord's Day morning or in the evening. You can read the passage beforehand, because sometimes your pastor preaches on the same text over and over and over and over again. You can ask your family members if they remembered what was preached on our last Lord's Day. These things may be small, but the Spirit can use them to prepare you for the hearing of the word preached and read. And third, it should be a general rule to make sure that all members of your household, this is going to sound crazy, or not crazy, sound basic, get a good night's sleep, so that everyone can be well rested, that everyone can be fully attentive and prepared for a day of communion with God in Christ, both in public and in private exercises. Now, let me be clear. We don't want to make the Sabbath day of rest more than what God has required. God has required a 24-hour keeping of the Lord's Day. But in order to give God our all, the best focus and attention that we can possibly muster on our end, then for most normal people, that means you're going to need a good night's sleep. Some people function well with little sleep. I don't happen to be one of those, but you got to know yourself. So the general rule of thumb is that we should not exert ourselves too much Saturday night that we are falling asleep in the worship of God. Therefore, Saturday night, when you're not traveling, when you're not out doing who knows what with others or out in the square, it should more times than not be a relatively quiet night at your house. One where you can wind down and ready yourself, body and soul, for a full day of delighting yourself in Christ and his works. And so that's those three practical tips I would give you for preparation of household. Well, there's two more to give. Haven't gotten to those yet. Preparation of hospitality. We've already talked a lot about hospitality, but we'll do some next time, and then we'll get into preparation for hearing of the word, which will then just bleed into our next section, which is mid-Sabbath. I can't remember what I called it, practices, because there's a preparation beforehand for hearing the word, the Sabbath before, and there's also a preparation Sabbath morning as we come in to hear the word read and preached. So we'll kind of bleed those together. But so, friends, for next Sabbath, prepare your hearts, prepare your house, and prepare your household for the coming Sabbath. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this example that we've looked at this evening in the life of Nehemiah, a great reformer of his day, one very zealous for the keeping of the Sabbath, not just in his own heart, which is most important, of course, but also for the whole household of Israel, for all those under his care and governance. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be those who seek to do the same thing, that we would prepare our houses to meet with you each Lord's Day as it comes near, as it draws near. And so, Lord, we see very often that we have gone into the Lord's Day willy-nilly and not done the preparatory work necessary to be ready to delight ourselves in the day as you've called us to do. And so, Lord God, we pray that we would be those who prepare ourselves. And Lord, we know that we cannot do this in and of ourselves, But Lord, provide the grace that we need. Help us to see our need to do it, that we could serve you all the day, that we would enjoy all of your blessings all the more, that we would have a spiritual frame of mind, a Sabbath frame of mind, a day of rest, rather than thinking about the things of the world and being distracted. And so, Lord God, we pray that you'd make each one here a better preparer for the glories of the Sabbath as they draw near. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do this, that we would truly be a people who loves your law, who delights in your law in our inmost being, even as Christ our Lord did. We don't do this preparatory work to be self-righteous, Lord. We know we have no righteousness of our own, but it only comes from you. And so, Lord God, we do this so that we can receive the double portion of blessings that you provide on your holy and sanctified day. And so, Lord, we pray that you would do this work of grace within us, stamp this word upon our hearts. We pray in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.